This morning we're going to talk about social media. And there's a need for this topic, and it could go in so many different ways. But first, since we're talking about social media, maybe we should totally insta this. Hey everybody, this is Soko here. I'm just preaching a sermon at Henderson. If you're worshiping at Box Springs Church this morning, get up real quick, come over. You'll be here in a minute. See what I did there? If you're seeing this afternoon, tonight we're having a song service at 5 o'clock, so come out, we're going to be singing. And I'm not kidding, see? Here we go. This is real. This is legit. This morning we're talking about social media, if you're wondering. Anyways, hope to see y'all later. Bye. All right, so let's see. We will just share that. Also, if you haven't followed us already for our Henderson Campus Ministry, follow us on Instagram or Facebook. Okay, all right, see? Social media. You can pretty much say whatever you want, and it can be out there in a moment. It could be well thought out. It could be last minute. It could be wise. It could be foolish. And so we need to talk about this. And for our Freed students, in the last couple of weeks, there's a little bit of social media drama. There were a few announcements given in chapel. And I knew a little bit, and then I remembered I was preaching this in a couple of weeks. And so I didn't ask any more because I don't want to, like I'm preaching at somebody. This has been planned for quite some time now. And so we see a need to remind ourselves about social media and how to handle that. And so as I thought about this morning, what do we do in 20 minutes on a Sunday morning? Well, I think the focus this morning needs to be on God and His Word. And so as I started to think about this, I thought, well, you know, we talk about, oh, these new things, and we live in an age where there's new technology and all of that. But really, there's nothing new under the sun. And I thought of Ecclesiastes chapter 1, where we see in verse 4, a generation goes, a generation comes, but the earth remains forever. The sun rises and the sun goes down and hastens to the place where it rises. Down in verse 9, what has been is what will be, and what has been done is what will be done, and there is nothing new under the sun. Is there a thing of which it is said, see, this is new? It has been already in the ages before. There's no remembrance of former things, nor will there be any remembrance of later things, yet to be among those who come after. And so, yes, is social media new? This generation, has human history had it all along? No. But it's just a new tool for which we can use for good or evil. And so in that sense this morning, I want us to look at several passages. If you have your Bible, I'd encourage you to turn with me this morning. We're going to start in James chapter 3. And I want to remind us of some biblical principles. And whether you have social media or not, of course, social media is not going away, and so probably the majority have it here. But even if you don't have it, what we're going to talk about this morning is relevant to all of us. Because we're looking at principles, the Bible claims to have all we need to live for faithful lives, and it's going to address our needs when it comes to social media. So let's turn to James chapter 3. Let's read verses 1 through 13. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness.
For we all stumble in many ways, and if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body. If we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell.
For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature, can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. This is a vivid reminder
that we need to constantly remind ourselves of the power of the tongue. You know, not all of you are out riding horses, and I like horses. I haven't ridden much. My grandmother bought us a pony when my brother turned like 8, and my mom said, should we have talked about this? I think I may have shared that story before. So I grew up with a horse. So I took Esther, Grace, and Eden out riding at Chickasaw, and I was nervous because my child is on this horse, and it's a big old beast, and yet with that little bit in its mouth, it's controlled. See, to me, that's impressive, this amazing beast, yet controlled with that little bit. Or the massive ship. But notice we're talking about this, the fire that can come from the tongue. It can set a forest ablaze. And you see, this is a reminder that we've always had. And doesn't this also apply in social media? It's just an extension of our tongue. And it gets out even faster and to more people. So why is it such a dangerous tool? Well, because look at what the tongue can do. Think of,
flip over to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12, we see in verses 33 through 37. Matthew 12, 33 through 37. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For the tree is known by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you speak good when you are evil? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks. The good person out of his good treasure brings forth good, and the evil person out of his evil treasures brings forth evil. I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give an account for every careless word they speak. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. This is a very sobering thought. Have you ever spoken careless words? We all have. And why? Because it is such a challenge to tame and control the tongue. And that we see our words are the fruit of kind of our heart, of what's in our heart. So we have to guard our tongue and our hearts. But again, this isn't all about bad, about what the terrible things that social media can do. See, there's great opportunity as well. Turn over with me to Ephesians chapter 4. Thank you to Kenneth, who read this long passage here. The reason why I was just couldn't pick a verse or two, but as we look at Ephesians chapter 4 and starting in verse 17, talking about the new life, and it's talking about what you were like and the old life and putting off those things, and instead you're being renewed in the Spirit and you're putting on the new self. And what does that mean? You're putting away falsehood and you're speaking truth. Maybe angry, but be angry and sin not. Verse 29, let no corrupt talking come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. Verse 31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away, along with all malice. See, instead, we're to be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you.
And so as he goes on in chapter 5 to be imitators of God,
in verse 2, and to walk in love.
And so here we see the great harm that can be done by our words and by our tongue, but also how we can use our words for great good, to build up one another, to be tender, to be tender-hearted.
And so just as we're to walk in love in real life, and this is giving us that principle, hey, we ought to be posting in love too. But at the same time, let's go over to Matthew chapter 6. As we think about what we want to do on social media and what that presence may be, let's remind ourselves to not do it, to be seen by others, to be self-righteous. Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 through 6.
Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you.
And so as we think about, I'm not putting negative things out there. Are we out there to show off and be self-righteous? Well, look what I've done. Look at the good that I'm doing. You may get some likes and some hearts and some tender hearts and some follows, and then they'll move on to the next thing that's in their news feed. You've gotten your reward. But then at the same time, right, we have a great opportunity, a great tool in front of us. So how ought we to use that? That doesn't mean we don't ever talk about our faith or religious things. Flip back a chapter to chapter 5 of Matthew, verse 13. You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven.
There is enough bad stuff out on social media that I hope that there are more and more Christians on social media. We need that presence. No, we're not going to do things to be self-righteous and to be seen, but we're like a city on a hill, a light that is meant to be shown.
And yes, see your good works. But why? What is it about your good works? Is it so you get the glory and praise? No. See your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. So we have great opportunity. Flip over to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Here's another challenge.
of what not to do?
Grumble.
Do you ever grumble? Again, we're all guilty of that. You look up grumble, so many of the verses are tied to the Israelites and what they were doing. And you see a lot of grumbling that happens in social media. And it takes a lot of self-control to not get involved in the grumbling. But you see, in Philippians chapter 2, verse 14, it says, "Do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God, without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world." Again, right? Should we be shocked that there's a lot of things on social media or grumbling and those things happening? No. Why? Because we're in the middle of a perverse and crooked generation. This is nothing new. And so that's going to be manifested in real life and in online. So what do? We have a great opportunity
to shine as lights in the world. And so if you flip over a couple chapters to Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, let's take our thoughts captive. Let's focus on the good. It's so easy to become discouraged and to grumble. But instead, as Philippians 4, 8 tells us, "Finally, brothers, whatever things are true, whatever things are honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, whatever is excellent, if there is anything worthy of praise,
think about these things." There's going to be a lot of things vying for attention, but we ought to be about the true and the honorable and the just and the pure and the lovely. One more that I have is, I think that to be principles from the Bible that are true in everyday life and true online is to think about to not be led astray. Now, what can I mean by this? Well, one, we could just take it at, like, you know, there's so much misinformation or spin and all those things and people arguing back and forth. And yes, facts are facts, but all facts have interpretation. You see, those facts, people might argue about the application of those things. And so there's always going to be disputes and being led, what should I believe? And so there's that whole aspect. But I think that there's an aspect here when we think about our spiritual life in particular. Now, I'm old and only have Facebook, okay? I tried to Twitter and Instagram for a little while, and I said, I do not need that in my life. I will have one venue, right? But TikTok is huge now, too. And there's a lot of things that we could say that are terrible. But one thing, that aspect, is thinking like people are having, there are influencers or people that I think, because I see it from our college students, because I'm asked about it, where there are false teachers on TikTok that in 60 seconds, they're going to explain some sort of complex theological discussion to try to have you question something. And so, and we've seen it. I've watched some of the videos that somebody's brought so that we can kind of try to address it. And they've said, this is we see this inundated with this. And it raises all sorts of questions. And so flip over to 2 Peter. 2 Peter, he's going to remind us that there are false teachers. 2 Peter 2, verse 1. But false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing upon themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their sensuality, and because of them the way of truth will be blasphemed. And in their greed they will exploit you with false words. Is the truth being blasphemed? We see that being blasphemed on these different avenues of social media every day. So we need to be aware of that. Jesus in Matthew chapter 7 said, verse 15, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. So what do? Well, we need to practice discernment. We need to practice discernment. When I think about discernment, the Bereans come to mind, right? You know, talk about the Bereans. Acts chapter 17, verse 11, we see that the Bereans were more noble than those at Thessalonica. Why? They received the word with all eagerness, and then what did they do? Well, they were examining the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. So we ought to have great discernment as we think about not only just all the information that's thrown at us, but especially as we think and relate it to spiritual matters. And so as we think about this morning, again, there are so many things we talk about, the harmful side effects of social media and all of that, maybe practical ways to handle it. I don't really have a lot of practical outcomes here because I think you have to carry that out in your own mind. But what I want to do today is I just wanted to remind us that God's word has what we need. And if we go to God's word, we see those principles that will then apply. And it's just, it's what's weird is that most of us, right? Hopefully nobody in here even, right? But most of us wouldn't go up to somebody's face and insult them terribly and berate them and belittle them and mock them right in front of their face. And yet, what do? We do that every day, social media. The bullying that happens, people killing themselves over the bullying they've received in that regard. What is that disconnect? And so here's the thing. The world is going to have that. The world doesn't have Christ. They aren't practicing the fruit of the Spirit. They're walking in the works of the flesh. And so guess what? All of that is going to play out online on social media too. But you see, we are called to a higher standard. We have put off the old and put on the new. And so the question to think about today is the fruit of the Spirit manifest in your social media feed? If you go and scroll through it, what is it? Is it uncontrolled words and discord and grumbling? Or is it love and joy and peace, patience, right? Maybe there won't be some stuff on your newsfeed because you have patience and self-control, right? Are those things manifest in your life? You see, there's great potential for good through social media. An opportunity to share joy, to share struggles, to share wisdom, to be real, to be authentic. But we need to be careful. And we need to set boundaries. We need to not let it be a snare for us to give Satan an opportunity.
And don't ever let your worth be determined by your online presence
and the likes and the hearts and the follows, because we are in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation,
and you do not need the adoration of the world or of crowds. Instead, your value and your identity is found in Christ, and that you were bought with a price, and you are of immense worth. Doesn't matter if everybody in the world, if nobody followed you, but if your name is written in the book of life, that is what matters. It's not the likes, it's not the views, it's not the followers. It's your identity in Christ that matters most. Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 7, enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few.
So can you get wrapped up in real life with things and on social media with things? Yeah, it's real easy to do. And we've got a lot of people, the massive majority of crowds are saying, come along. But don't get swept up in your everyday life or in your online life with the crowds.
Because it is narrow and hard is the way that leads to life. And yes, the broad way is easy, but it leads to destruction. And we want to be led to life. If you need anything this morning, maybe you need the new life. You need to put off the old and put on the new, as was read to us this morning from Ephesians, to wash away your sins and be a new creature, to follow after Christ, and we can do that. If you need prayers to the church, anything, encouragement, confession, whatever the case may be, we want to be here, a place to help you, to bear your burdens, to build you up and encourage you. If there's any needs, come now as we stand and as we sing.